WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Online spending during the 5 days from Thanksgiving through Monday is expected to increase by 7% this year, according to Adobe Analytics. The company's lead insight analyst, Vivek Pandya, says more than $40 billion will be spent in that period, and that includes today.
Black Friday online sales continue to grow significantly, especially this year. We're expecting about 9.9% year-on-year growth, and that'll account for about $10.8 billion in spend. So a record level of spending for Black Friday this year.
The post-Thanksgiving travel rush could be messy in areas of the Great Lakes region. That's where several feet of lake effect snow are possible. President-elect Trump's threatened tariffs against Mexico and Canada, but Mexico's president said Thursday there would not be a tariff war with the U.S. And French President Macron showed off the rebuilt Notre Dame Cathedral after the 2019 fire. It reopens December 8th. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, I'm Ted Ehlin. Investigators say a bus driver was to blame for driving into the front of a home in western Wisconsin early Tuesday morning. A school bus leaving the depot in Holman crashed into the front of a home. The State Patrol says the 76-year-old bus driver was at fault. One person inside the home was injured. A final report on THC-contaminated food from a Dane County pizzeria. A report from Public Health Madison in Dane County says 85 people developed symptoms last month after eating the menu items accidentally contaminated with oil containing Delta 9 from famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton. And the DNR is suggesting you harvest your Christmas tree from one of several Northwoods state forests. You can get a permit to cut down a balsam or fir tree from one of the forests online or at one of the state forest headquarters, and they usually cost $5. The maximum height allowed is 30 feet. More info is on the DNR's website.
MaxFM weather brought to you by SSM Health, providing high-quality, compassionate, and personalized care to communities across Wisconsin. SSMHealth.com.
MaxFM, Gem City Weather.
Gradual clearing this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 22, with wind out of the west at 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly clear, 9 above. Tomorrow, sunshine, 23. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 26. Whether you're looking for an amazing winter getaway or some holiday fun, Alexandria, Minnesota has it all. Find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 18.
99.7.
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM, 8:03 on Friday morning. This is your last chance to win tickets to see A Flock of Seagulls at the Crystal Grand Music Theater. Text in Seagulls 608-355-9970. Here is Lou Graham on Max FM.
Ain't got no regrets. I ain't losing track of which way I'm going. I ain't gonna double back, no. Don't wanna misplay. Put on no display. An angel know, but I know my way. Oh yeah. Oh. I used to follow. Yeah, that's true. But my following days are over. Now I just gotta follow through. And I remember what my father said. He said, son, life is simple. It's either cherry red. Shame, 'cause
I'm the one who can feel the sun right in the pouring rain. I won't say when, don't know when, but soon there's gonna come a day, baby, I'll be back again. Yeah, I'll be back for you.
Seven Max FM.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. 8:12 on Friday morning. Dave and Wendy joining you. Wendy, one of the things that came up during Thanksgiving dinner yesterday was somebody asked me if I do the morning show in my pajamas. And you know the answer to that one.
Not very often.
Yeah.
You're usually dressed by the time I leave for work.
Yes. So I'm actually, you know, ready to go. I got some Black Friday shopping to do today. So I'm ready to move. You know, it's one of those that the dog does not have a day off. He knows that he gets up at a certain time every day and he's ready to go. Well, now he's sleeping, in case anyone is curious.
He wants a day off after we've both been home all week.
Right. He's not used to that. So, you know, his routine is all messed up, but that is how it goes. And, you know, we want to take a moment and say congratulations to Michael of Baraboo and Julie of Reedsburg. You both have won tickets to see A Flock of Seagulls at the Crystal Grand Music Theater. This is your last chance to qualify for a chance to win those tickets. Wendy, what do they need to do?
They need to text us at 608-355-9970, the word seagulls. It's that simple, Dave.
It is, and you can also use a free Civic Media app. Look for Max Mouse. Tap on Max FM. Click text. Enter in seagulls. This is your last chance to win those tickets today. You know, I'm excited because it is, we know, a big shopping day. And so I have my list in front of me now of things that I need to make sure I go out and get and not that I'm going to forget. But tomorrow's also a big day, Wendy. What is tomorrow besides Saturday?
Tomorrow is Small Business Saturday, where we celebrate all the small businesses in town. Not just downtown, but all around town.
And so this means go out and go to all those small businesses in Lake Dalton, Portage, Baraboo, Reedsburg, Sauk Prairie, all over the area. Support those small businesses. And it's something that's very important. You know, you don't always need to go to those big stores. You can help support our small businesses. And Wendy, they have specials, right?
They do. Some of them have like stuff a stocking and everything you can get in a stocking, you get a certain percentage off. Some of them are offering spend so much money, you get something for free. Some of them are offering buy one, get ones. There's just all kinds of different things. I think there's one store here in town that's doing Jingle Bucks. When you save a certain or spend a certain amount of money, you get a coupon for dollars back to spend again, or things like that. There's just lots of neat ideas, creative ideas that they've come up with for helping you spend and save.
Yeah, and that's a great deal. So you get to spend a little money, save a little money. So support all of our businesses on Black Friday and also on Small Business Saturday. And, you know, it's going to be great weather. You don't have to worry about the weather when you get out and about shopping, Wendy. It's not too bad to be out, is it?
No, not too bad. Well, not like I would know. I haven't been outside yet today. It almost looks like a winter day out there, though. It's got that kind of bluish gray hue to the sky, and it's just got that frosty feeling look. But it's going to be a great day to get out there and go do some shopping.
It most definitely is. I'm looking forward to that. So what we're going to do, Wendy, is we'll be back at about 8:20. We're going over calendar days.
Calendar days.
And it's your last chance for Flock of Seagull tickets. You need to text us now, 608-355-9970. Wendy, what are they texting?
Seagulls, seagulls. Text the word seagulls.
You need to do that now. We're going to pick our final winners by 8:20. The morning show is brought to you by Baraboo State Bank, banking better together.
Craving wings? Hi, this is Jess from the Reedsburg Pizza Ranch. And Thursday night is now wing night at the Pizza Ranch. We will have a variety of wings, boneless and traditional, with sauces, plus our new delicious fries out on the buffet. We will also be serving up your buffet favorites, pizza made your way, the country's best chicken, and all the sides and salad, plus dessert. Bring your friends and your appetite, and we'll see you at the ranch.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Baraboo, The Dells, and Reedsburg.
Pittsburgh. Looking for a solid full-time technician job at a trusted vehicle repair shop? Stop into Sullivan's 2 on 8th Street next to the Log Cabin Restaurant in Baraboo and talk to David today. Or feel free to call Sullivan's 2 at 608-356-9282.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
The Packers capped off Thanksgiving Day by blowing out Miami 30-17 at Lambeau Field. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Jordan Love tossing two touchdown passes to wideout Jaden Reed, and Josh Jacobs combined for 117 all-purpose yards as the Packers win their third in a row. Packers keeping pace with the Lions after Detroit held off a second-half comeback from Chicago, beating the Bears 23-20 at Ford Field. That was the 10th straight win for the Lions, who ended a seven-game Thanksgiving Day losing streak. Vikings don't play until Sunday. They'll take on the Arizona Cardinals. They need to win to stay a game in front of the Packers. Football Badgers wrap up the regular season at home later this morning, facing the rival Minnesota Gophers at Camp Randall. Paul Bunyan's axe is on the line, and so too is bowl eligibility for the Badgers, who need to win to have a postseason. Top-ranked Badger women's hockey team on the road for the first of a two-game set tonight at the University of Maine. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
To run to win, and I'll
80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Van Halen, Why Can't This Be Love? 8:22 on Friday morning. Dave and Wendy with you. Wendy, you know, it's been fun. This morning has went by fast.
And I didn't even tell all your deep, dark secrets, Dave.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. So, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you filling in. It's not fun when it's always just me, so I appreciate you filling in. And you're actually going to be filling in this afternoon for the first time ever.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, because that's when I'll reveal all the deep, dark secrets of Dave.
Oh, boy, I think I better supervise this. Oh.
Well, you know you will.
Yeah, this is most certainly true. So, all right, if you want a Max FM Christmas card, you need to text us, because we're going to be sending those out in December. Wendy, what do they need to do to get that Max FM Christmas card?
They need to text the words Christmas card and their address to the 608-355-9970, or they can also use the free Civic Media app. If you go to Civic Media and pick that app on your app store, and then you can scroll down to the bottom where you see Max the Mouse and click on that, you can listen to us live everywhere you go on that app, and you can also text us and all kinds of other things right from that app.
So text Christmas card with your name and address. We'll hook you up with the Max FM Christmas card. The photo shoot for that actually is going to be taking place on Monday. That's going to be interesting.
Smile pretty, Dave.
I know. It's going to be fun. I feel bad for our photographer, because we all know how much I enjoy having my picture taken.
So do I, because I know how bad sometimes it is to take your picture and get you to behave.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. So, yep, we're actually be taking our picture for that on Monday. And so we'll be sending those out in December. So, again, you need to text in Christmas card to 608-355-9970. Or, as Wendy mentioned, use the free Civic Media app. Now, also, the Badgers are playing today, right, Wendy?
Yes, they are. They're on at 11 a.m. today, playing in Minnesota for the Paul Bunyan X.
So that'll be.
And I believe you said that was on CBS. Was that right?
Yep, that's correct. Right. On CBS. So a lot of football. It's weird that they're going to be playing on Friday morning. So that's weird.
They probably had to get up early after their Thanksgiving dinner.
Right, I know that would not be fun. So we're going to talk about calendar days real briefly here, Wendy. And today is Friday, November 29th, and today is your Welcome Giving Day. We're learning new ways to say you're welcome on this exciting day. Wendy, what else do you see on our list today?
Dave, did you know today's Black Friday?
What? No, I didn't know that. Smart aleck.
But here's a really funny one that combats Black Friday. It's called Buy Nothing Day. It's an effort to combat the unethical and sometimes even dangerous mob shopping behaviors of Black Friday, which we don't see quite as much these days anymore, with the crazy, you know, people beating each other up to get holiday gifts and things like that, like used to happen. Now it seems a little more calm. Apparently, we've become a little more refined as a society these days, as far as that goes.
Right. And that's exactly it. I mean, I remember some of those days, because we were in the bigger cities at some of those points, and it was absolute insanity at some of those stores waiting in line. It is also Electronic Greetings Day. Let's reach out to long lost friends via email or social media on Electronic Greetings Day. What else did you see on our list, Wendy?
It is also National Lemon Cream Pie Day, because, you know, we might not have had enough pie yesterday.
Right. It's also Throw Out Your Leftovers Day, so it's time to throw out your leftovers and make space for fresh and healthy food. Not already. That's what I looked at, too. I'm like, you have to save the turkey yet. So turkey's good for a few more days yet. Turkey casserole, turkey soup, even turkey pizza, maybe.
Here's another one. National Day of Listening. There's something interesting for everyone to say or hear, so listen up.
Huh? What?
How did I know you were going to do that?
What? Yes, I do that all the time.
It's also Native American Heritage Day today, Dave. The Native Americans form the foundation of American culture, and that makes this day very special.
Yes, it does. It's also Systems Engineer Day. Systems Engineer Day celebrates those who create computer systems and debug those pesky computer problems.
Wow, how many days do you need in the year, Dave?
Yeah, no. A few. I wear
it's
a few
also
hats.
Square dancing day, Dave. Should we go get on our dancing shoes and practice square dancing with your favorite friends and loved ones?
Yeah, you aren't going to see me dancing.
I think we could throw a little beer barrel polka in there for you.
Yeah, had to go there, didn't you?
Of course I did.
That's never going to get old.
Why wouldn't I?
Right, everyone else does. So, did you see anything else on the list, Wendy?
There's also your welcome giving day. We're learning new ways to say you're welcome on this exciting day, which we should say more often since yesterday was Thanksgiving. We should say you're welcome, too.
Yes, we should. Well, Wendy, I appreciate you being here this morning with me. Thank you so much. Now, you're going to be back at 4 o'clock.
You keep reminding me of that.
Yes, I know.
Dave, you did sign me up to work this afternoon as well.
Yes, I did. So thank you for being here today. I appreciate having you here today.
No problem. You know, like I always say, nobody wants to hear you talk that much, so I need to help you out.
Yes, you do. So it was fun having you fill in on the morning show. We got to do this every once in a while. I suspect maybe next month we'll get a day or so in there as well, maybe.
Oh, maybe. You never know.
You never know. Or we might, you know, we do work together on Sundays as well. So you never know what shenanigans happen between 4 and midnight on Sundays.
I think this weekend I'm going to do the Where'd the Weekend Go with Wendy.
Yeah, no kidding. That's about
it. It was moving.
It was definitely moving and cruising, as we like to say, schmoving.
Schmoving. For sure.
Yes, for sure. Well, thank you again, Wendy, for being here. Appreciate you being here. You'll be back at 4, and I'll be around till 11 o'clock this morning. It is More Music Mornings with Dave and Wendy. The morning show is brought to you by Baraboo State Bank, baking better together. Coming up, we will have a look at weather, outfield, and then hang with Hobble and Maddie on Max FM.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Gradual clearing this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 22, with wind out of the west at 15 to 25. Tonight, mostly clear, 9 above. Tomorrow, sunshine, 23. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 26. Whether you're looking for an amazing winter getaway or some holiday fun, Alexandria, Minnesota has it all. Find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 18. 99.7
Max FM. 80s, 90s, and more.
99.7 Max FM.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to
tonight. I ain't got many friends.
It's time for another edition of Hanging with Hovel here at Max FM. Good morning. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments. We're going to talk about that big win last night at Lambeau Field for the Green Bay Packers against the Miami Dolphins in just moments. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
Apples are in great supply at Oakwood Fruit Farm, and now is the perfect time to visit. Right now, all remaining apples are 20% off. Perfect for gifts or family treats. Plus, enjoy fresh apple cider and save room for bakery favorites like the Daily Made Apple Cider Donuts, Take and Bake Pies, and Turnovers. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road, is open 7 days a week from 9 until 4, or until the apples are gone. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. Chris is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press-Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Good morning, Chris. Black Friday and a big Packers victory. I mean, what more can we want? Ask for this morning.
Everything. You know, everything that a Packers fan slash somebody wanted to get ready for Christmas slash big time shoppers. And now you can just, I mean, get your Packer gear, get yourself ready for a happy holiday, a Christmas, and a possibly a trip deep into the playoffs, maybe, who knows.
And let me tell you, that Packers team last night, if you watched the game past the end and past, you know, the final seconds, you got to see them enjoy a little bit of turkey as well. So hopefully everybody is doing the same thing and staying warm as well, because boy, that weather really changed. And it wasn't such a good thing for the Dolphins last night at Lambeau Field.
No, you know, it's funny, I was texting you before the game last night and I said that some of those Dolphins in pregame looked like the South Park kids.
Oh, it was terrible.
Bundled up, you could see their eyes, and that was about it, and they didn't look real happy. I don't even know if any of them were blinking. And then when you put a 24-3 at halftime on temperature dropped about 10 more degrees on the Dolphins sideline than it was at Green Bay's.
Absolutely. And I mean, let's be fair, though, and we'll talk a little bit about both sides of the ball more in depth here in just a second. But as an overview, let's be fair. Tua had a really rough first half. It was not great. Statistically, it wasn't good for the eye, anything. He really picked it up, though, and was playing much better and very precisely, much more like we've seen the Dolphins play since he returned from that concussion protocol over the last three games. And, you know, making it a little bit of a closer game, maybe making Packers fans a little on edge, but boy, oh boy, they button things up themselves. And that goal line stance, oh, that was so pretty. It was truly the bend, don't break defense that Joe Barry liked to tout and could never actually accomplish in Green Bay. And he was there last night, so I felt like it was just fitting.
Well, he was really good at the bend part. It was the don't break part that would get you in trouble with Joe Barry. And I cannot recall the last goal line stand of that caliber against an offense like that. And I understand they don't have the running quarterback, which puts you at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Right.
On the other hand, they've got plenty of weapons. And when you've got second and goal at the one, you didn't think you could get in, but the Packers just rallied to the football. And I think what Matt LaFleur said last night after the game to open up his post game was really telling. Just, he said, I think we're physical in every phase of the game.
Yes.
It shows all over the tape. And he said it's just everywhere, whether it's on defense, knocking them out or forcing a turnover, special teams with a big play, and they had a couple of them last night, or the offense then finishing it off and doing their part.
Yes.
And it's funny because LaFleur is in a position where he can be magnanimous because the offense is rolling right now, but he's having fun as a coach because it's special teams giving you help, it's defense giving you help. And then on offense, whether he calls run or pass, he's in a pretty good position right now.
He is in a really good position. Yes.
They've worked really hard to get where they're at right now through 13 weeks of the season, 9-3 record. And I did a little check-in before the game. And tonight I got to look again, although I do believe, let's see here. I'm going to check the old handy dandy box score. Okay. So the Packers, 28 pass attempts tonight to 25 rushes. So coming into this game, Maddie, 8-3, now 9-3.
Yeah.
They had seven games where they ran more than they threw, and they were 7-0. Wow. They were 1-3 coming in tonight on the other games where they passed more than they ran.
Mm-hmm.
The shocker there was actually seven games they ran more than they threw. The one exception was the win over the Texans, and now they have two of those because actually 28 pass attempts to 25 rushes tonight for 114 for the Packers.
Wow.
And you get the win. So now they're 9-3. And I mean,
I love it.
They have the top five run to pass ratio in the NFL.
Yes.
And really things are lining up for them right now. You got to like what you're seeing.
Absolutely. And this game a little bit last night reminded me of the Lions game last year. They came out with a really aggressive mentality from the start, and they just kept the pedal down the entire game. Love played really, really well. He got to Watson a couple of times, and they got the huge win. And really what that tells me is there's a few different factors that go into this Green Bay team. I mean, let's be realistic. A healthy Jordan Love is a different Jordan Love, right? And he seems to be very healthy at this moment in time. Letting Quay Walker do a little bit of hunting may actually be the thing that they need to get him, I'll say fixed. I don't want to say fixed. It's a bad term, but I feel like maybe his play on the field fixed, if we can say that. Josh Jacobs is the kind of guy who's going to snatch the ankles. I mean, that's what we learned last night, right? And Lucas Van Ness, as much as we've talked about him being a non-factor, it feels like he's starting to figure it out. And you saw all of those things come into play last night during this game. So let's kind of focus to start out with, as we talk about some of these generalities, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, because this was we talked about it during the game against the 49ers. Love played well, but he wasn't great. It was the team around him that really elevated a lot of things. Last night, he played great. He looked poised again. He looked very comfortable. He was decisive. There were throws that he made last night during that game that he actually missed on or didn't pull the trigger on during the 49ers game. And no, he was like, nope, we're gonna do this. And I thought it was the best he'd actually played all season. I don't know what your take is, but I thought he looked tremendous last night, especially in the pocket.
Well, you look at that first half, just a blitz on the Dolphins, six possessions, three touchdowns and a field goal. So you put up the 24, you had two punts, and actually the one that they did punt, they had a chance at their 46 after the huge kick return by Keyshawn Nixon, almost popped it. You had a chance there, and I was a little disappointed that they weren't able to cash that into points. But then
Your
special teams does you one better. Not only did they get the big kick return you couldn't capitalize, but Jordan Love said after the game last night, when we got that ball back after the muff pump, we all looked at each other in the huddle. It's like, we are getting this in the end zone. And three plays later, the 9 yards, touchdown. And there you go. The route was on, as it were.
Now, speaking of the red zone, this blew my mind, and this actually comes from ESPN. 2 weeks ago, the Packers ranked 27th in the NFL in red zone offense. Since then, they've scored touchdowns on 9 straight drives into the red zone, the longest active streak in the NFL, and tied for the second longest streak by any team this season. Think about that, though. 2 weeks ago, they were ranked number 27th in the red zone, in red zone offense, and they haven't looked back in 2 weeks. Matt LaFleur made it a concerted effort. He said it at the podium. They had to get that fixed. I think bringing in Robert Saleh has definitely helped because they're able to dissect those defenses a little bit differently now with his input as a defensive-minded guy on the offensive side of the ball. I know that's all very confusing, so follow us for a second. But I think it's made a world of difference, and I think that is actually, when you think about where this team was just a couple of weeks ago, I find that to be a mind-blowing statistic, especially when you look at what they've done the last couple of weeks. And let's be realistic, that 49ers defense is not a slouch of a defense, and neither is this Miami Dolphins defense. These are both really good defenses that they've played the last couple of weeks and really dominated for most of the game in both of those particular instances.
Oh, I mean, the Dolphins had won three straight coming in. The two losses were 30-27 to the Bills and a 28-27, I think, to the Cardinals before that. So it was like really close games. But they were like 37.8% in the red zone for touchdowns 2 weeks ago. And then the 5 for 5 and then tonight. They jumped up to 54% just on the 5 for 5,
which
had to get them up in the middle of the league. And then tonight's touchdown success in there again, 60%, I think, or whatever it was. They right now are looking like their top 10 red zone offense, again, which is where we would expect them to be. It took them a while to get there, and there are still things. I mean, they need figure out where the line is.
It's not perfect.
Defense, that would help. The encroachments were a little silly. But other than a little bit of foolishness, I mean, the things that they set out they needed to correct, the penalties are down, the drops are down, and by far the third down and red zone areas, situational football, all of that is up. I mean, it's pointing in the right direction. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much, but they're going to get the Lions, who are really, really beat up and were gifted, just like a lot of other teams the Bears play. Matt Eberflus was foolishness at the end. I mean, if you're a Packer fan, you just shrug because that's the Bears. On the other hand, you're trying to catch
Bears
the Lions.
Fans.
Can we have a little bit of help here along the way, Chicago?
Right.
I mean, you know, but. No,
and it was so close. Like, it was horrible because it was one of those moments where you actually found yourself rooting a little bit for the Bears just because of how the NFC North is shaking out, right?
I wanted them to win. I mean, the Packers, maybe a game out with an even head-to-head, and who knows?
I know. And so it was very mind-blowing, but if you watch that last play of the game, to waste 26 seconds essentially just lining up and never calling a timeout, I mean, I blame Matt Eberflus for that. I blame Caleb Williams for that. The wide receivers weren't really in where they needed to be. It was just a disaster. We were watching the Packers game, and Jordan Love ran a two-minute drill, basically a 15-second drill, to get a field goal at the end of that first half. And he ran that flawlessly. And I looked around at the room. Dexter, Max, and Corey were all sitting there. And I was like, you know who knows how to run a two-minute drill? Max goes, Jordan Love? I said, yes, Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur know how to run a good two-minute drill. Because it was done flawlessly. Everybody knew where they were supposed to go. They were handing off the ball to the ref. They were getting where they needed to be. They were calling the timeouts appropriately. And they didn't waste any time in doing it, and still ended the half with 3 points. I mean, no favors from the Bears, though. We couldn't get a favor.
With the way the Packers and things are shaping up now, last night to use a double back, the pony package, to get Brooks in there along with Jacobs. It just they're
beautiful.
Expanding on the ability to run the football and make it an even bigger perceived threat, but yet be able to throw it. And I said this before the game last night. We were talking about our one big thing, and I said my one big thing is complementary football, but not really necessarily offense to defense. It's run versus pass.
Yep.
Because, and Matt LaFleur, you might be trying to be a little coy or cute or clever or whatever, but when he says asked who's going to have the big game this week, and he's like, I don't know, it depends on the situation and all. Well, it's way more intentional than he lets on.
Of course.
But the fact of the matter is, whatever way he chooses to go with that scheme and game plan for that week, whether it works fabulously or struggles a little bit, he's got other options. And he doesn't really care. And the players don't seem to necessarily care who gets all the all the catches and all the yards and all the touchdowns and all that. They spread it around pretty well. But again, I think he knew Tucker Kraft was going to be important tonight.
Yep.
And 6 catches on 7 targets for 78. Just a physicality that he and Josh Jacobs bring that were not there in the past. And then Josh Jacobs, the 49-yard reception, the longest of his career, Maddie. I didn't know he could break ankles like that. I mean, I knew he could break them by just running over you and crushing bone, but to make you break your own by making you miss in the open field. Dolphins had 13 missed tackles.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Third quarter.
Yeah.
My gosh.
You know, and here's the thing, too. What Matt LaFleur did was he got the playmakers involved. I mean, all of the guys out there are playmakers. Let's be realistic, or can be at certain given time, right? We've talked about this. But the man is Josh Jacobs. The man is Jaden Reed. The man is Tucker Kraft. And in this particular game, the three of them combined for 242 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, that just tells you how important they are to the team. And Jaden Reed had been pretty quiet over the last few weeks. I mean, he's been out there. He's been blocking. He's been dutifully doing what he needed to do to help this team achieve their goals. But we hadn't seen a lot from him as far as production. And last night, it was a completely different story. The dudes were involved. And that's what I like to call them, because these are the dudes. These are the guys that you should be building your offense around. And that seems to be what they're doing at this stage of the game, or at least for this particular game. I mean, you know, I know Matt LaFleur likes to change things up. So next week against the Lions, it might be something completely different. But when you get those three guys involved, the guys who are the leader of their position, good things happen. Now, there was something that I texted you this week, and I wanted to quickly discuss it before we move to defense, because I personally believe that Matt LaFleur became a better coach and this offense became a better offense when Jordan Love got hurt, because it forced Matt LaFleur to go deep into his run playbook and come up with some things that I'm not sure they would be doing if Jordan Love hadn't gotten hurt. And he kept a lot of those things in the playbook that he used with Malik Willis, even after Jordan Love came back. And I think you can tell, because they are a much better team this year. They are more pass run friendly, and they are able to basically, you know, break some ankles when they need to, as far as the run game. And I know Josh Jacobs helps a lot of that with a lot of that, but this is a completely different running team, a completely different run offense than we've seen in past years, even last year. And I think it's interesting that maybe they became a better rounded team because of the injury. Not that you ever want to see your quarterback go down, right? But in this particular case, it ended well for them. But I truly believe that they're a better team for that particular injury.
I mean, I joke about the Packers. Did they practice the run game much during the week? It's like, no, we'll get our reps on Sunday or Thursday night or whenever we play, because right. We're going to bang away. And there's no question, when you get 52 attempts in one game and whatever they had in the other, the back-to-back Willis games, the offensive line got a chance to jive. Now, that's been fairly removed from that, but the creativity that mm-hmm. it forced, and to be able to attack a team instead of vertically, horizontally, mm-hmm. and get them sideline to sideline and then cut and go. And that really, I have no doubt, you know, necessity, the mother of invention. And I think having to do some of those things, and you'll see it in the league where a player is out or a team
yep.
back against the wall and they come up with their best game plan all season. Now, the trick is to be able to do that week to week, but they have been building and there's been that sense of coming together. And the key thing, be able to win those two games without your starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. I say the more we get away from that, the residuals, just having the W's on the docket yep. is nice, but the run game and the confidence in that. And I really think the Packers on offense, when they take the field, it's different than it used to be. When Aaron Rodgers and they yeah. were really humming, 35 a game at home on average and all that, mm-hmm. you expected them to score, but you knew how it was going to happen if it was.
Right.
This way, I come into a game, I'm not concerned or worried about the offense right. or how is it going to function. I'm curious. I am just yeah. generally, almost as a fan, sitting here going, well, let's see it. What are they going to do this week?
Yeah.
How are they going to
yeah.
get after him and watch? But the physicality, the finishing block. Tucker Kraft had three blocks on the Jaden Reed one
yes.
for 23 yards. When you have three blocks on one play, someone ought to give you a game ball for something, or at least some ice cream
yes.
after the game or something, a little treat, you know. But
yeah.
He was amazing. 78
extra
yards
pumpkin receiver, pie.
All of that. And whipped cream, have some more, Tucker, by all means.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it was a fantastic performance from the offense. And, you know, much like last year at this point, it's really fun to see it rounding into shape a little bit, right? I mean, it feels like those first few games of the season, they're really just trying to get their sea legs underneath of them. And then all of a sudden, one day, it's like, oh, well, this is what we've been working for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now let's keep trying to get better at it. That's essentially what it felt like last year. And that's what it very much feels like at this point in time as well. Now, let's flip over.
Your coaches yep. say this, Maddie, and a lot of them will say it, and not a lot of them are going to be right about it, but we're close.
Yeah.
It's really close. Yep. You hear LaFleur say that, and he says it, you know, seeming very sincere, and there's no panic or anything, and all of that. And they can tell. And just like Josh Jacobs saying, I'm an ankle tackle away from really, and look where it's come from that. And he doesn't seem like he's about to wear down at all.
No.
He seems as risky as ever. And you just look at where they're positioned right now, the options they have on offense, special teams being a bonus.
It's unbelievable to think. It's unbelievable to think with the Green Bay Packers. Now let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, because to me, I mean, I know there's a lot of fans who were like, oh, they got that touchdown and it shouldn't have ever let them score. This is a high octane offense. They were going to get their points. Let's be realistic about it, right? They were going to get their points. And at some point you knew as soon as Tua found some rhythm, it was going to be a completely different game. What I thought they did really, really well is they contained some of the big plays, because we know Tyreek Hill can go off in an instant. In fact, before this game even started, Max thought they were going to win narrowly, but Tyreek Hill was going to have one of his best games of the season. This had to be one of Tyreek, and I don't have the stats in front of me, so I'm just assuming. Tyreek Hill, just based off the eye test, had to have one of his worst games of the season. Did he not? I mean, they contained him. They were able to keep him from running wild and loose all over the field. And when that happens, you give up plays to some of the other guys, but they're not quite as impactful as a Tyreek Hill can be. They're good, but they're not Tyreek Hill.
Hill now for the whatever number game it is in row, he's only gone over 100 yards once this season.
Okay.
Which is fairly surprising, but they had backup quarterback play and all that. Six catches for 83 yards. That's Tyreek Hill-ish on nine targets and the touchdown, but that was it. I mean, the run game was just abysmal. Run game for the Dolphins? 14 for 39 with a long of 13 yards for Achan, and Mostert 12, and those guys can both just fly. So to be able to contain them, to your point, and I thought the safeties, I thought McKinney, a bad break on the tip touchdown.
Yeah.
But he was right where he was supposed to be. And Evan Williams quietly back there, as deep as the deepest, not letting anyone get behind you, no foolishness, not getting beat, and all those kind of things. I thought the safety play and Bullard showing up as well, really, really strong for the Packers. And you look at five sacks.
Yeah.
But I got to say, I was thinking about Preston Smith's absence. Quay Walker got one on a blitz. Enoch Barry had maybe his best game as a Packer.
Yeah. I honestly think if you were going to trade Preston Smith, they did it at the right time, because I don't feel like there's been much of a drop off on the O-line or on the defensive line. And I get that is a fairly small sample size this year, because the defensive line, as we've talked, has been quiet in comparison to other teams, or maybe even in years past. But you know, it's funny, because Kenny Clark was on a Packers-based podcast just a few weeks ago, and I was listening to the sound bites of that. And you know, you and I have been talking a lot about how maybe this 4-3 change from the 3-4 defense was affecting some of the line, and I know some of the players have kind of played that off. Kenny Clark in that podcast did not play off the change, and he said it has been a lot tougher than people even realize. And he said, I think a lot tougher than some of the players even realize it's been on them. And I thought that was kind of eye-opening. And it also kind of explains some of the things you and I have been thinking and maybe talking about over the last few weeks as to why this defensive line has been so much quieter. And as we know, it's the reason Preston Smith actually requested the trade, because he wanted to go back to and play in a 3-4 defense. But maybe, hopefully, you're seeing the players kind of bring that around as well. I thought go ahead.
I was just going to say, you hope that they can adjust and get better as the season's gone on. And it looks, to your point, in the 4-3, they're starting to find their way, because early downs, they're defending the run like you hope they would, which is the plan, going to the 4-3, and then being able to get enough pressure. And the pass rush looked, it showed some life, I thought, last night.
Yes.
The five sacks speak for themselves, but you've got Brenton Cox Jr. coming in, getting a sack. Enoch Barry, as I mentioned. Lucas Van Ness,
very
active. Not only two tackles, but he did have the sack around the football, had another quarterback hit, and a couple of tackles for loss. So Van Ness is showing up more. He looked really active, and I think that's only going to get better. I mean, his ability to be able to, and it doesn't seem like a big deal, like the quarterback may get past the line, so it's not a sack.
Sure.
But him being able to take on a blocker, but still know where the football is, and then go and track and chase. You know, shed and get. He's pretty good with that. The more he gets to play, like anybody would be. He still hasn't started a game in his football career since high school.
Right. No, I totally agree.
Hasn't in college, never did, and in the
and
pros.
And one of
hasn't.
The things I think we forget about Lucas Van Ness is he was actually projected not even to enter the draft until this past season. So he's actually about, he's about a year ahead of where he should be, or as far as where people projected him to be. He declared a year earlier than most people thought he was going to. And that could be why this has been such a work in progress. I mean, mentally, physically, all of it, it's all got to catch up with one another, right?
And that's why the Packers know it was an investment when they drafted him, because if they'd have waited a year and loved him, they wouldn't have been able to get him if you have a season like you want, because he'd go much higher than 13.
Exactly.
He probably would have just, you know, kicked some big-time tail at Iowa had he stayed another year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But these are reasons why, as Packers fans, I know it gets frustrating. You and I talk about the frustration, but they're little things that we have to remember as these guys progress and come into this Halfley system, right? But let's talk about this this pass rush win rate. Let's try saying that 10 times fast this morning. Apparently, I can't. Since the Smith trade, with a minimum of 20 pass rush snaps, Lucas Van Ness is at 21.1%. Rashawn Gary sitting at about 19%. Kingsley Anguembare is about 8%, and Brenton Cox Jr. about 4.2%. So these numbers have actually grown over the last couple of weeks since the Preston Smith trade. Believe it or not, if they feel abysmal, they're actually inflated from where they were a couple of weeks ago before Preston Smith left the Green Bay Packers. So I think it's all starting to come around. Now, another guy that I've been very, very tough on this season that I have to give a little props. I have to give some props and some credit to is Quay Walker. You talk about a guy who all of a sudden it feels like everything has spun around and is completely enlightened to him. He has looked pretty darn good the last couple of games. So you know, a little credit where credit is due.
I would agree with you. He's more decisive. His speed and his athleticism are kind of the second leg of the journey for him at this point. That's the easy part. From the neck up, once he gets that hooked up. Early on in the game, he got hoodwinked on a little misdirection pass to Jonnu Smith, and I thought, oh, geez, here we go.
Yep, here we go. Yep, same thing we said.
But you know what? He tightened it up. He was in position. Tyreek Hill, 20 yards downfield, shadowing him within a step. Not making that pass easy at all.